Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The sermon is based on our gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 17. Let's begin as usual with prayer. Dear Lord, we ask that you would interrupt us this morning with your word. We ask that you would send the Holy Spirit that we might understand you and take your words to heart. Amen. You know, interruptions are kind of interesting, aren't they? They can be anything from frustrating to life-saving. It all depends on the context, and it all depends on who's doing the interrupting. For instance, if you're at home and you finally have a little time to get some work done, and all of a sudden the dog does something on the floor, it can be pretty frustrating. When you're in your office at work and you're in the zone and someone comes bursting through your office door, that can be frustrating. But if you're driving on the road and you don't see someone that you're going to hit and someone honks the horn, that interruption might have just saved your life. Today we're going to look at the context of Jesus' transfiguration in glory in Matthew chapter 17, the first 9 verses. And we're going to wrestle with the question, what do we do when God interrupts us? How should we react to him? We'll get started with the first verse of the chapter. It says, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and he led them up onto a high mountain by themselves. Right, no detail is wasted when the Holy Spirit inspires the gospel writers, right? Matthew talks about 6 days, right? That's important. This has been 6 days since Jesus taught his disciples in Caesarea Philippi, where he told them that he would be going to Jerusalem to suffer and to die and to rise again on the third day. So it's been just a few days, less than a week, since they've heard that. That's going to come into play very soon. Jesus decides to take his closest 3 disciples up on a high mountain, and we read verse 2, there he was transfigured in front of them. His face was shining like the sun. His clothing became as white as the light. This is a hugely significant moment in Jesus' earthly ministry, recorded in the 3 synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and it's even mentioned in John's gospel. Jesus is transfigured, literally transformed in front of them. The veil of human weakness is taken away for just a moment, and Jesus shows his divinity with an undeniable demonstration of radiant light. His 3 disciples must be watching in astonishment when all of a sudden, just then, Moses and Elijah appeared to them talking with Jesus. We have sort of the embodiment of the law and the prophets. All the Old Testament is there with Jesus. And Luke lets us know that they're discussing with him what is to come in Jerusalem and his death on the cross. The disciples are watching with astonishment. And as is usual, when you see something, some people are speechless, and some people can't keep themselves from saying something, right? And that's the Apostle Peter, right? A man who sometimes in the Bible gets his mouth in gear before his brain. He says this, Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you want, I will make 3 shelters here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While Jesus is talking about God's plan with Moses and Elijah, Peter decides to run a plan by everybody. Let's turn this hiking trip into a camping trip, right? I'll put up 3 shelters, right? One for each of the prophets here, and it'll be great, right? We can kind of stay here and wait out all that suffering and death part, right? Let the Pharisees cool down. It'll be nice, right? Moses is good at camping. He did it for 40 years, right? If we need any food, Elijah can call the ravens again. If you didn't know, that was a poor attempt at Old Testament humor there. I'll refrain from that for the rest of the sermon. Peter's plan is not very well thought out, is it? Right? To say the least, right? It's naive, and it's thinking of earthly things. It's thinking of his own comfort. But more importantly, Peter isn't listening, is he? It's been just 6 days since Jesus told them that he's going to suffer and die in Jerusalem. And Peter wants to stay on the mountain. He's not listening, and that is why God interrupts. We read, while he was still speaking. In fact, the way that Matthew words the Greek, still is that the first word. So we get the idea that Peter might have been sort of elaborating, sort of babbling on about this. And while he's still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. Just then a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell face down and were terrified. Peter is cut off graciously by God. God needs Peter and the disciples to realize that this is his son. Right? He's greater than Moses and Elijah. As we say in the creed today, right? Begotten of God, not made. Right? Through him all things were made, one with the Father. Jesus is true God. And on the basis of his identity as the one and only true Son of God, we should listen to him. Peter, we can't stay on the mountain. We need to go to Jerusalem. God's plan is the cross and the open grave. This needs to happen. Now, I want to note that Peter wasn't doing anything purposefully sinful here, was he? Yes, it was a foolish plan. Yes, he wasn't listening, and that needs to be addressed, but he wasn't actively working against God's will. But God still found it necessary to interrupt. You know, you and I don't think, would ever say that we are actively working against God's plan or purpose. But there are times in our life that God sees it wise, gracious, to interrupt. Sometimes he needs to interrupt us from babbling too, right? Maybe it's the repeating voice that keeps bringing up sins of the past that have been confessed and forgiven. Maybe it's the grudge, that bitter voice that keeps coming back and refuses to let go. And perhaps most common of all, and closely related to our text, it's the voice of a heart that longs for a plan on this earth, a plan for earthly glory and for comfort. We need to be interrupted too. I want to illustrate this with three examples, three people that I've met in my relatively short time as a pastor. The first was a young woman I met during my vicar year, and she got into a relationship with a young man. And she had some big plans, right? She had some plans that involved a big ring and a white dress and maybe even some car seats. Way too early, might I add, she had these plans. And everything seemed to be going well until her boyfriend wanted to become sexually active with her and thought it would just make more sense for them to move in. And that's when the voice of God interrupted for her. She knew God had said that the marriage bed should be kept pure and that the great gift of sex should be reserved for a husband and a wife. And she was frustrated. She was stressed out and she was afraid that she would lose him. What do you do when God interrupts? The second example was a middle-aged man who had just moved up in his place of work. And he had plans to work there for a long time. It paid him well. But in his new position, he understood a little bit better how things worked. And he realized that there were some very unethical practices. And that's when God interrupted. The voice of God, to which his conscience testified, told him that he needed to say something, right? He was frustrated and he was stressed and he was afraid he was going to lose this job. What do you do when God interrupts? The third example was an older woman who retired with her husband, and they had big plans. They had a summer home, and they were hoping to go travel and visit all the grandkids. But the voice of God interrupted, calling her husband home to heaven. She was sad, mixed with a little bit of anger. And she was afraid of living the rest of her life all by herself. What do you do when God interrupts? That's the question I put before you today. What will you do when God interrupts? If he hasn't already. We have plans too, right? Plans for high school, plans for spring break maybe. Plans for a relationship, plans for our family. Plans for our children, for our marriage, right? Plans for our health, plans for our retirement, for our careers. We have all sorts of plans. What are you going to do when God interrupts? Truth is that if your heart is longing after earthly glory and comfort, if you are tied down to this terrestrial ball, when God interrupts with his word, it's going to be frustrating. It's gonna feel like he's ruining things, that he doesn't care for you, and you might even grow bitter and resent him. And that's just what the devil would want us to do. To put all of our longing here and now and think God is bad to us for ruining our plans. But the other thing you could do is to trust the God who gave himself for you. When God interrupts, you could do exactly as the Father commands. You could listen to him. And him here specifically is Jesus. Just listen to what Jesus says on the Mount of Transfiguration. The disciples, right, are terrified. They're not even glancing up. The voice of God has so terrified them. Jesus approached, and as he touched them, he said, "Get up and do not be afraid." Just this kindness of Jesus draws us in time and time again, doesn't it? He who is perfectly holy, has just been radiating light like the sun itself, rushes over to reassuringly touch his disciples. God the Father's voice, the holy God, makes sinners fall to the ground in terror. But Jesus, our Savior, comes and says, "Get up, arise," literally resurrect. Sinners are terrified before a holy God. But Jesus says, "Do not be afraid." Jesus not only shines in brilliant glory to solidify his disciples' conviction in him as their Messiah, as their leader, as their Lord and Savior. But he reassures them and comforts them, empowers them to continue on with him, even to the cross. Because that's where he would go, right? He set his face like flint towards Jerusalem, and he fulfilled God's plan without interruption. He allowed himself to be crucified, and he died for all of our sins. All the times we've been mad at God for changing plans. For all the times that our hearts have so clung to earthly glory. Jesus forgives us. He sets us free to listen. My friends, when God interrupts, listen to Jesus. Trust that the one who shines like the sun itself is trustworthy. Trust that Jesus, who was willing to lay his life down for you, has your best in mind even when he interrupts your plans. And trust that the Holy Spirit will empower you through word and sacrament to obey God's will, even in the face of pressure and adversity. When God interrupts, listen to him. You want to know what happened to those people that I talked about as examples? The young woman, well, her boyfriend broke up with her. She was devastated. But a few years later, she met a Christian man online, and they're married with one on the way. The man who had the pain of conscience with his job, he decided to report it. Pretty soon, he found himself training his replacement. He lost his job, but he kept what mattered. And in due time, God blessed him with a new job. And that woman who lost her husband, she was sad about it every day. She's still sad about it to this day. But she rejoices because she listened to her Savior. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And though she cannot be with her husband for a few more years here on earth, she will spend an eternity with him in heaven. And do you know what happened to the Apostle Peter? The one with the really foolish plan? He listened to Jesus, and they crucified him for it. Tradition states that Peter requested to be crucified upside down because he didn't think himself worthy to die in the same way that Jesus did. You have to be pretty confident of somebody's words to be willing to die for them. But Peter was confident that listening to Jesus was worth it. I doubt this was Peter's original plan when he started following Jesus. But by the time he died, he knew that it was worth it because Jesus was his Savior. And he wants us to trust it too. You know, we don't have the voice of the Father booming down from heaven. This is my Son. We don't see Jesus shining in brilliant glory. But we do have the Word of God. And that is a trustworthy source as much as a direct revelation. Right? Listen to what Peter writes in his second epistle. He says, for we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Right? He's talking about what he saw on the Mount of Transfiguration. He says, for when he received honor and glory from God the Father, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased, we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And then verse 19, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place. My friends, this is what the word is, right? It is a light for our path. We don't have Jesus shining brilliantly, but we have the word. We have the true promises of our God. And so if God interrupts your plans in his grace, listen to him. Amen.